Blog Talk Radio.
A heart, a flame, an ordinary name. Seems not to believe it. Decode the message for yourself. The law, I'm talking, leave it.
A heart, a flame, an ordinary name.
Showcase. This is our Wednesday night, August the 26th show. Our special guest tonight is Amy and Nick from the band Post Paradise. Amy and Nick, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi.
Well, thanks. I appreciate. Yeah, it's great to have you guys on. Let's start off with how the band got together and how long it's been together, and then if you could introduce the other members of the band.
Cool. Yeah. So let's see. It's been about 6 years now. Got a couple records under our belt. We pretty much just found everybody online, to be honest, which is kind of a crazy story because you always hear about the horror stories people who try to do that.
Yeah.
And then we've been through a couple bass players, couple drummers, that kind of thing. But now we have Mark Rashawn on drums and Chris Santola on bass, and neither of them are here right now. But we're actually heading to practice right after this interview, so.
So Nick and I have been in the band from the beginning and added other people.
So what is it that you look for? I know that, you know, you said that, you know, there you put things, the feelers out there on the internet, Nick, and try to get people to be interested in the type of music you're playing. What is it that you look for in musicians? There's just a lot of good musicians out there, but the chemistry of a band is such a hard thing to get nailed down and to get to a point where not only do you play the music, but you also have to have that chemistry. How do you do that? And why did you think these guys worked?
You know, it's kind of funny that It's so true. I mean, you can hire a lot of, you can hire players and things like that, but so much of it is just about, like, I don't want to say that, I mean, the culture, maybe.
Well, like the relationship dynamics within the band.
Yeah, everyone kind of has to want the same goals out of music, I guess, especially for a rock band, because, you know, you're, I don't know, it's a tough life, I guess, and so it's, you have to have the people that want to have the same kind of fun that you want to have, I guess, out of the whole thing. And with Mark and Chris, it really just ended up coming down to the fact that they are willing to kind of do what we need to be done as far as shows and recording, and they like the kind of music that we play, because we already had a couple releases when they joined up, and it was pretty much, you know, they joined up, we trained them for about a month, and then to get in the van, and we hit the road for a while, and then we came back and made a record with them. And they were just really good sports about the whole thing. They kind of saved the project, because we had to switch out a bass player and a drummer at the same time. And we're like, are we even able to do this? But yeah, just great sports. And you know, like I said, I think are in it for kind of the same reasons that Amy and I are. And that's really why it worked.
I play the bass. I'm not great, but I always like to ask the question, what is it, Nick, that you look for in a bass player? Because there's so many different styles, and it, to me, it's like that's the first thing I hear in a song. But for you, when you were auditioning for a bass player and you were looking for somebody, what were you looking for, and what is it in a bass player that you think fits into Post Paradise?
Well, we've really, when we're putting together songs, I mean, we always have to put the song first. A lot of times, it's important to have the player's like character come through, you know, like how they play their instrument. But we're not the kind of band where everybody takes a solo in a song. You know what I mean? It's more, everything's really structured and produced. And, we have to leave a lot of room for the cello a lot of the time. So that makes it kind of a unique thing. Because that cello is in that, it's basically in the vocal register. So there's kind of a lot of low end that it shares with guitar and with bass in those frequency ranges. So really, I usually look for someone that's not too busy or that knows kind of when to step back and let the cello or the vocals come through, those types of things. Yeah, and then they can lock in with the drums, of course, because that's kind of rule number one.
Yeah, that was going to be the next question, because those two fit together. You know, I always hear people say, well, you know, this guy played the guitar, so he should be able to play bass. And I always think, you know, when I played, I remember there was a time in the one band I was in where the guy said, well, why don't you play the drums so that the drummer can play the sax for a while? And I thought, oh, I've never played the drums before, but it wasn't that hard of a transition. So was it the same way with the drummer, Nick and Amy, that you were thinking, okay, I want somebody that's going to be a part. But to me, man, I hear the drummer too. I mean, it means a lot in the band.
Totally. It's captain of the ship, you know. When we first auditioned Mark, he showed up, and he was the second guy we auditioned in that round. And he kind of showed up and you know, he was prepared. He had everything ready. We played with a click track because we have a light show that's kind of all matched up to the tempo of the songs and things like that. So it was just, he kind of hit all the points right off the bat. And it just, you know, it feels right. You know, we just started playing some songs. And like, okay, I can groove with this guy really, really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
And personality-wise, it's a huge deal that it's somebody that you like and that you all get along. And because we spend a lot of time together, like, a lot. We travel together and we practice a couple times a week and we play shows at least once a week and we hang out together and go to other shows, and so we spend a lot of time. So that's kind of, not that it's number one, but it's like equally important as being a good musician, as being a good person.
You get to know someone real quick.
Yeah, you said you guys went on the road pretty soon after, you know, they came into the band. And that's where... That's an interesting thing, because then you really get to know each other. I mean, now it's like, okay, I've heard things about people, but when you're in did you guys tour in a van?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We have a 15-passenger
van. Yeah.
Did you videotape it?
Yeah. Not much.
No, not a lot of that.
Not
it's
the magic.
We don't even have a trailer, so everything's just in the van all the time, so it's the four of us and all the gear. And it's not too bad. We fit in there pretty comfortably.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You guys should have your have some video of that, because I think it's pretty cool. People will send
Please
me. I've interviewed a band once. It was I just thought of this. They were driving through the mountains in West Virginia, and they were I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but being in Colorado, I imagine it's like 10 times worse. If you go off the road, you're done. It's like, you know, there's no rails, there's no nothing. And like, I'm in Ohio, so it's real close, and it's a beautiful state. So when you're riding down country roads in West Virginia, you can look down and see, you know, you're just straight down. And these guys, I was interviewing this man. Yeah, and they were talking to me, and the guy was saying, oh, hold on a minute. And he said, okay, we're okay. And I thought, and I don't think I'm going to crash for the interview.
Funny you say that, because we were, I think we were scheduled, it was the last Saturday originally. And but we had a gig out in Breckenridge, which is out in the mountains, about 2.5 hours from where we are, from where we live. And the same kind of thing. You know, and I kept thinking, they sent us the information. We had the sound check way early. And that's why we had to move the interview originally. And I was just thinking, I don't want to be doing this while we're hanging off a cliff. Yeah.
No, it's crazy. It's kind of funny because a lot of, like, I've interviewed people, you know, right at the sound checks and in all kinds of different places. One cool one was interviewing the lead singer from Uriah Heep while he was walking through a shopping mall in England, in London, with his family. I thought that was cool. I felt kind of weird that I was like intruding, you know, hey, it's me. But it's kind of neat to do. Now, let's let the listeners know how you guys got together. And why don't we start with Amy? How did you start off with music, Amy? I mean, were you in a musical family? I always love this part, to get to know people and to get to know, you know, what music played a big, how it played a big part in your life. And talk a little bit about, you know, your growing up.
So my dad is musical. My mom is not at all. And my dad plays guitar and sings, and he worked in a music store when he was younger. And so he has had a lot of experience with music. And that's what he did for his job for a little while, kind of a lounge singer. And so he would play guitar and sing in our house every once in a while, but they were just all very supportive of me playing cello. And I started playing cello when I was 8 in elementary school in the orchestra. And I thought I wanted to play violin. And the first time I heard the cello, I just fell in love with it. I was like, that's what I'm doing. That's what I want. And I played classically for, I think, like 15 years before I joined Post Paradise. And I was in, like, symphonies and orchestras and school orchestras. And I played with a youth symphony and got to travel a little bit around the world doing that. That was really fun. My grandparents were always very supportive of it, too, kind of financially helping me out with instruments and traveling and all that stuff, too. Nick found me on MySpace and invited me kind of out of the blue to join a rock band, which I had never really had any experience writing my own music or doing anything but just reading classical music in a symphony. And I decided to try it. And it's really fun.
And here we are.
So Nick is really dangerous on the internet. He's getting all these musicians. So what's why the cello? First, we'll ask Amy. What you said that it just sounded good. I mean, it's you were 8 years old and made that decision. What was it about the cello that you said you fell in love with?
There was something about the sound of it. Like, there's only been a couple instruments that really resonate with me, and the cello is like my number one, and French horn is the other one. But I am terrible at horn instruments. I could never do that. But I don't know, there was just something that it just kind of spoke to me. And I teach lessons, and a lot of my students have said that they kind of had that same feeling with it, that it just kind of spoke to their heart and made them feel something, and they really liked it. So, but I didn't really love it until, like, I liked it. I liked playing, and I was in a symphony, and it was fun in a way. But at a certain point, I got a little bored with the classical side of it, and I had actually taken a break from playing when Nick emailed me and asked if I wanted to join Post Paradise, and I just wanted to try it. I had seen cello and a rock band for the first time at a local show, and kind of had that seed planted in my head a couple weeks before, and then Nick emailed me, and I tried it out, and it's just my thing. It's what I want to do. It's so much fun to write my own music and play in the rock setting. We have this crazy light show that we used, and yeah, it's awesome. It all kind of came together. Like, I got to do what I love in a really, really cool different way that's kind of perfect for me.
And it sounds really good too, so that helps. Yeah, it really does. And Nick, what was it that were you looking for a cello player, or were you in a band at that time, or was that going to be a part or a component of putting it together?
I was not in a band at that point. I'd been in bands before, and actually down in Florida, things like that. I saw Cursive a long time ago when they had a cellist in the band for a while, and that always kind of stuck with me. It was a fun show and really cool, and I'd never seen anything like that before. And definitely different music than us, but it was something that really stuck with me. And I don't know. So I when I moved out to Colorado, I kind of saw Fort Collins, where we live. The music scene here is just incredible, and there's so many good musicians around every corner. And it was just one of those things where, like, you know, I've had a year off from my old band. Like, let me try and have some fun with this and see what's what. And I was curious, like, to see if a cello could exist as, like, the leading instrument in a rock band. So rather than going for another guitar, you know, I said, what if we had a cello that would fill that role, and then still do the bass and drums.
Which is a good call.
Thing. Yeah, and sure enough, you know, when Amy actually did come over to audition, I had some stuff written out, because she was like, I've never written my own stuff. So I wrote a couple, you know, melody lines, things like that, out for the guitar, and then the two of us just got together and tried it, and it ended up sounding really, really cool. So from there, we just sort of added the electric rig to make sure that she can hear herself and that she's loud enough to compete with a rock band and doesn't feedback. And yeah, it's been a journey, but it's awesome. It's really, it's been worth it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because it can't be just like, okay, let's just play the cello. I mean, there's got to be the acoustics to it and setting that up. So when you started thinking, Nick, okay, this is how I want the band to be. And, you know, a lot of times when I talk to musicians, you know, they have a vision or they don't. It seems like you definitely had a vision and you were moving in a certain direction. And as musicians, and I know that it's got to be very competitive in Colorado and in that area too. And there's a couple of questions around that, because when I talk to musicians, you know, I know some guys that have left and have given up everything, their jobs and stuff, to do their musical careers, and have moved to different places. Los Angeles and Nashville seem to be the two big places to go. What was it about? Yeah, and my goodness, I mean, wow. I've been following a couple of people that have moved to Nashville and then doing interviews with them through their adventure, and it's unbelievable. I mean, it's... I don't think people really understand what goes on. I mean, as an independent musician, how have you guys grown from the vision that you see, and how easy is it to take the steps to make that vision come true?
This is actually a really great area right here. Northern Colorado is hitting on all cylinders right now with the music scene, for sure, especially the rock stuff going on. There's a lot of different genres. And it's funny, because you said, you know, competitive. And it's competitive in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. We're friends with so many bands out here, and anytime we play a show with bands that we don't know, it usually ends up, okay, these are guys we're going to play with again, or these are guys we're going to hang out with, or, it's a very cooperative community of musicians. So that's huge. And that's one of the things that, you know, we've had the same thing. Friends moved to Nashville, they moved to New York, they moved to L.A., or Austin is another big one that some of our friends went to. And it's sort of like, you know, you're putting yourself maybe in an epicenter where things have already happened there. I feel like Colorado is kind of waiting to happen. There's a lot of bands coming out there's amazing talent here, and there's a lot more focus on Colorado in the last probably 5 or 6 years. And it's just growing and growing, and there's so many good bands and so many venues. We actually have more venues in Denver than there are in Austin, which is kind of crazy. There's a report that came out last year that kind of blew our minds. So it's definitely, it's becoming more and more known as a music center, you know, in this region of the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important to have...
It wasn't really a tough thing to move forward.
Yeah, it's important to have, you know, a geographic area where you can get gigs, because – you know, when I guess it could go either way. I was interviewing a couple of bands recently that, you know, in the LA area, and this one guy told me that, you know, there are literally thousands of bands playing in one night. And you, and
yeah.
So, yeah, and so that gets to a point where, you know, where do you guys look at this? Because one of the things, you know, is interviewing independent musicians. This is, I think, my seventh year of this show, and I just love, you know, the different answers that I get and the passion that people have to have a career in music. So what is it with you guys? I know that you have to have places to play, but does geography have something to do with it also? And I say this because I've asked singer-songwriters, I'm going to have to say songwriters, about how geography may affect their sound or how just their feel of their music. Does that, being in Colorado, does that, the geography part of it, just where you are, have anything to do with, like, your songwriting or your creative abilities?
I'm not entirely sure. From the standpoint, like, my inspiration and things like that, I think everything that you do in your daily life, you know, goes into your songwriting and things like that. And this is just a place where it really does feel like home. I mean, I'm not from Colorado. I'm from Massachusetts originally, and I lived in Boston. I lived in Florida for many years, and then being out here for, I guess, 7 or 8 years now. And I don't know, it's the first place that really felt like home. Like, I really love it out here, and I think just being able to be creative here and be able to express myself and having other people around. Like, I'm not a solo artist by any means. Never really have been. I'm definitely a band guy, so I'm always looking for people to collaborate with and have those kind of cooperative experiences. And so I guess the fact that there's readily available this, you know, supply of musicians and cool people around, including, like, the even the industry people here, the venue runners, the promoters, all kinds of stuff. It's always good for us to travel out of state, but we're always really happy to come home. We'll put it that way. So.
Now, when you write songs, Nick, did you feel like your songs were the same when you were in, like, New York or Boston and Florida that you are here? So when you're in your creative spirit and you're creating songs and you're writing songs, does it have anything to do with it? It's just a very curious question that I have, because I've talked to people that have moved and their songwriting has changed a little bit. So do you feel it's basically been the same no matter where you've gone?
Not necessarily, because it's I'm not trying to write a certain thing, so I really just kind of let whatever's coming out come out. I don't know. I think it's all part of the journey, you know, because I've been writing songs now for, I don't know, 10 years at least, so it's sort of whatever, for better or worse. But it's sort of like as you – it's the evolution, I guess, as I go from one place to the next. I guess maybe I've never even looked back on it and thought about it that way, to see how this area has influenced me. I'm sure that it has, just from my general outlook.
Well, I feel like more than, like, the physical location for most people, it's probably, like, how it's changing your life situation and your personal experiences. Most people write from their personal experiences for the most part, and at least draw from that. And when you move to a different place, you're going to have new people, new
Yeah, and
new
I'm definitely a happier person out here. I thought I was a really angry dude back in Florida, but it turns out I just don't really like the heat. So Colorado was kind of the perfect place for me.
It was too hot. That was it. It was way too hot.
That was
so,
it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't do the heat very well. So let's take a time, Nick, to walk through the songwriting process, because you said that it kind of happens. And I've asked I can't even tell you how many times I've asked this question, and I've gotten all these different answers. But one example that I use of reading an article not too long ago about Wilco and Jeff Tweedy, and how that they were talking about, kind of like you were talking about, how does the songs just, like, you know, are they floating in the universe and they just find a person? What happens? And Jeff said that to him, you have to put the work in. You have to have talent. You have to put the work in. You have to study hard. You have to know your instrument. You have to know all this stuff. And all of that will go into your subconscious. And once that's in your subconscious, then, you know, with that's like in your, I don't know, storage, and then it'll just come out. And it'll, you know,
yeah.
How do you explain your songwriting style?
I'd agree with a lot of that. Basically, I wrote much differently than I did when I was 19 than I do now, obviously, just because of experience and like you kind of said, going through the motions, putting in the work, and really just sitting there and saying, is this the best song to be? That's the question we as a band, because it's very cooperative. Like, I'll bring in riffs and things like that, and then we'll play stuff, and you know, my drummer will suggest a different beat, and then Amy will come up with a melody line, and we'll change the chords behind it. And so it's sort of like it's not any one person taking charge of it, but we just kind of bounce things around until it ends up in a place that we're all really excited about. So as long as we have the excitement and we're, you know, happy with kind of where it's gone, that's a good, I guess, starting point. And then, of course, there's producers and engineers and stuff once we get into the studio and things get moved around, just for whatever purposes, streamlining or really, like I said, making the song the best that it can be. And it's tough because it's very subjective. You know, it's not like we don't ever sit down and say, we're going to write a song to be on the radio. You know, we'll think along those lines of like, I'm not going to write an 8-minute song and then try to get it on the radio. But at the same time, we never really set out with a goal of writing any specific thing, I don't think. It's more just like trying to express really what we all do. And really, you know, we're going to end up playing these songs for years. We know that. So it's like, let's make sure it's something we're very happy with and very excited about. And we're going to be happy playing night after night.
When
we started
doing kind of an interesting thing for us, this album, we have a new EP coming out in October or September. We haven't decided. October 9th is the official release of it. But before we'd write songs, we'd have our parts, and we'd kind of be like, okay, this song is done. And this writing cycle, we'd get done with the song, we're like, okay, is it the best it could be? Like, does it all feel right? And then if it didn't, we would completely tear the songs apart. And so I think we had two or three songs that ended up being completely different than the first incarnation of them, and they ended up way better. And it's been kind of exciting to push ourselves and to take that risk, to take a song that's done and just kind of strip it apart and rearrange it.
Take the parts that we like and leave everything else. And then
I know it's hard to do.
Yeah, it's true, because we didn't really have any time restraints this time around. We just said, all right, we're, you know, we have a bunch of song ideas, all this stuff. Let's just take as much time as we need to and really take everything apart and put it back together and, you know, make it that kind of process. And it really, in my opinion, it really paid off.
Does choosing the producer, how do you do that? Because you were talking about having the songs that you had, you know, the way you'd lay them out and then you'd pick them apart. And a lot of times, and you also mentioned, I think it was you, Nick, that said, you know, are you going to try to get this so it's radio ready? Did you guys, how do you approach the producer part of the album? Because, you know, that sometimes that can take you down roads that you're not really wanting to go if you get a certain producer. And it could be good and it could be bad.
Yeah. Well, we ended up, Amy actually did some work with Andrew Berlin, who ended up being the producer on this 2-EP thing that we've got going on. And, so she actually worked with him on the Rise Against record, because she played cello on their last, what was it called, Black Market,
mm-hmm.
That record. And she came back and she's like, oh my God, this is so great. He had like the best, you know, technique and everything was so easy. It was great working with him. And we'd known him for a while. So it just ended up being this kind of nice thing. Like, let's have someone else push the button. Let's kind of like we pay to someone that we trust, you know, to do this kind of stuff. And
he was our sound engineer on the album, but he ended up helping us produce quite a few of the songs and just giving us feedback and insight and critique on a lot of it. And he was just great to work with. Like, he does an awesome job of kind of pulling parts and performances out of people and making suggestions, but letting us still make it our own. Like, he has a really nice technique for that. I don't know.
Yeah, he really was able to keep the character of everyone's playing and everyone's kind of style and things like that. Like, we didn't do too many takes of things. It was just a matter of, you know, get it right for you, and we'll work around that, basically. I mean, not to say that things are out of tune or out of time or anything like that, but just to, we weren't really, we were trying to get you know, we called it the Nickness, like out of my voice and things like that. Like it was fun working with him because he really pushed me to do things that I hadn't, I guess, been comfortable doing before. But it was great. It definitely a growth opportunity for sure.
Is that easy for you, Nick, for somebody to take a song that you have or take a style and like give corrective or, you know, some kind of criticism, whether it's, you know, it's positive and it's taking you in the right direction? Has that always been easy for you to take that direction?
It hasn't always been easy, but lately I feel so. We did a record, and I was able to, I produced it and engineered it myself, and we recorded everything ourselves. And it took probably 6 months to do, but it was like the first full length we ever did, and that was one of those experiences for me that I feel like I got it out of my system. You know, I like sweat it out just enough. It was very intense and very just, oh my God, so difficult. And by the end of it, I was so happy and so proud of it, and still am. But when it was done, it was kind of like, okay, I did that. Like now, if I were to do that again, it would be like, I know what I do. So I'm almost hoping for someone else to get something else out of me. I want to surprise myself. And Andrew, we just trusted him immediately. You know, it was sort of like, even with mixing, because he mixed it and we said, just, you know, do your first take and I mean your first like attempt at mixing, and then just, you know, send it to us and we'll see. And if it's anything we really don't like, but I didn't want to go into it with any preconceived notion of how it should sound. I wanted to kind of be surprised and let someone else have another set of ears on it. And for the most part, we were super excited with what he came out with.
Yeah, that's got to feel really good too. I mean, it is when you write the song, and it's, you know, I always hear people talk, Nick and Amy, about, you know, the songs are your babies and they're part of you. And I really believe that because, you know, when artists, you know, it's kind of a birthing thing, you know, it's inside you and now it's out, and now people can look at it and they can look at that baby's big ears or look, you know. And
yeah.
you're thinking, hey, that's my really, that's my baby, you know. So,
yeah.
But I think it's also a really good thing when you can get somebody to come in and say, okay, that's cool. How about a little bit of this, a little bit of that? So I always think that's good too. My guests tonight are Amy and Nick from the band Post Paradise, and their website, you can go on postparadiserock.com. And you guys, right now, you have a single out, Ordinary, which we started the show out. And would you like to talk about that song and how that was written, and maybe talk about that a little bit, and then we'll play another one? We'll take a music break here in a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What's up?
Go ahead. Talk about how Ordinary was written.
Oh, Ordinary, yes. So that was one of those ones that we did kind of do a lot of changes to. We had kind of a structure for it in a couple parts and things, and then we sort of moved some things around. We wanted to do something that was different than what we'd done on our last release. So we kind of, we checked it out, diagnosed, you know, saw it, made sure that we weren't doing drum beats that we'd done before or anything that was easy. You know, we wanted to kind of make it a little tough on ourselves. And we wanted to keep the energy up. So that's really how the whole thing came about.
Mm-hmm.
We moved things around, added choruses, took other parts away, you know, changed choruses around, changed lyrics. So this was definitely the first one that solidified after we put it through the ringer and that whole process. So it's kind of fitting that it was the first single because it just hit so hard right out of the gate, which I really like.
I think for me with my part, I haven't thought about this in a while. It's been a while since we wrote this song, actually. But I was trying to kind of, we were trying to pull away from what we were used to. And for me, like my favorite stuff to play is like Bach. It's like really flowy and really pretty and very melodic. And I think that comes through in my playing style a lot. And I was trying to kind of get away from that and do something a little more rock, a little more driving. And it turned out pretty cool. I'm happy with this song and my part and how it all came together. And it's really fun to play, which is like...
Now, talk about the... we'll play The River. Talk about that a little bit.
The River was one that actually came together pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I had that opening riff... around just a little guitar line for a long time, and we finally kind of put it to a full band setting. And I don't know, it just ended up being something where I wanted to try a different vocal pattern than I normally would for choruses, So I kind of jam a lot of words into the chorus where maybe there's not. I don't know. I just wouldn't have done that on the last record. So this is a reaction to some of that other stuff and just trying to get out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I was really happy how that one came out. We've been closing our sets out with that song.
Oh, that's
and it's
cool.
been really fun.
And yeah. We actually have a music video coming out probably mid-September for that.
Yeah, we just saw a new edit of it yesterday,
yeah.
and it's looking
so
good.
We're so excited about it. It's our first, like, kind of higher budget, like, big deal music video. Yeah,
well, talk about that for a little bit, because that's all, to me, that, you know, I ask this question a lot too. I mean, you've got the song, you know, and it's in one media, it's, you know, it's all going through the ears. Now you're going to take that, and people can interpret the songs, you know, all any way they want to. I mean, they can see things and visualize things, but then when you say, okay, we're going to make a video of it, how does that whole process work? How does it work with you guys? Because to me, I think it's awesome to do it. I just don't know if it doesn't seem like it would be easy. And then once you get the idea, like we talked about the vision, how do you get it to say, okay, how do we get this to look like we want it to? And also, it's not free. So how does that all work together when you kind of like you get the idea? How do you get, you know, do you have to get a producer? Do you have to get somebody to do it? Do you have to get actors? Do you have to do this? I mean, to me, it would be overwhelming. I'm just asking from a professional standpoint how you guys did that.
Yeah. Well, so for us, we were kind of, this was our first time kind of through that whole process and figuring all of that stuff that you just brought up. We were figuring all that out. And we were kind of debating between a couple of songs to do a music video for. We knew we wanted to do a video just to kind of have that out on YouTube and in the world and for promotions and all that stuff. And so I had a strong visual connection in my mind to the river, and I wanted to do a lot of, like, these water shots and falling into water and take kind of a more literal, like, visual approach to it, I guess. And I had all these super glorious images that I wanted to capture in my brain. And then we found a video company that we wanted to work with. And then we decided on our budget, and then we had to scale my glorious dreams way back in a different direction.
Apparently, underwater cameras are really expensive.
Really, really expensive. So we kind of had to, we shifted it around, and we used a lot of light and movement, and we have a friend who owns a, kind of a fitness studio, but they do like the Cirque du Soleil silks and like pole fitness, and so she does these beautiful pole moves. Like, she looks like she's doing ballet in midair. It's absolutely gorgeous, and they do the silks, and so we wanted to incorporate that to kind of have this like really beautiful feminine movement, and so we captured the feel of the song in just a completely different way than we kind of set out to, just because we had these limitations of what we could do at this point. And but we had a friend's band in town who had done a video with this company that we chose. It's called Foco Films. Phoco, yeah, Foco Films. And their video just looked amazing. Like, the video quality was gorgeous, and they had like a little storyline. It was awesome. And so we knew we wanted to work with them, and they kind of acted as like our director sort of thing, and they made what we wanted to come out of it, come to life, like, with all these restraints that we had. And
yeah, they did a great job.
It was a cool process. It was really fun. We shot everything in like a day, and we've had a couple of rounds of edit. And
I think it's a slippery slope though, because I can see us going crazier and crazier with videos now that we've got our feet wet, and now it's,
well, this is kind of like, this is how we do, like, this is how the Post Paradise do. We kind of, our evolution as a band. Like, we started out just with our four-piece thing, and we started in the basement, and we just have this kind of fluid evolution as a band, where we started playing bigger and bigger shows, and we started adding a light show, and then we started adding more and more lights to our light show, and so we just kind of progress and add gradually as we go. So. Yeah, I think videos are just the next addiction that we have.
We've gotten a taste for it. So it's all over. It's going to happen a lot more now.
Yeah, that's really, it's, to me, it's like, I love watching the videos, and then I try to figure out, you know, what the artists want you to know, because you can, I haven't seen this one you're talking about, but when you're writing, and Nick and Amy, when you guys are putting the songs together, are you thinking that sometimes, I guess two things, when you're writing a song and putting it together, are you thinking about how it's going to translate in the live show, and then are you thinking maybe it would be cool to write a song this way because it's going to make a really cool visual?
We haven't up until this point.
I don't think about the video stuff, the visual.
We might now.
Live shows every now and then. If there's something that I really, like a part comes up, then I'll just be like, oh my God, this is going to be so much fun to play live.
It's usually kind of after the fact for me visually. Like we hear our song back and we're like, this would be a really cool video. Like, we have one called Here Come the Wolves, and I still think that would be just such an awesome music video at some point.
Well, let's play the river. My guest, Amy and Nick from the band Post Paradise, and their website is postparadiserock.com. And can they? Is that a place, guys, where people can buy your records from your website?
There are links, to iTunes, Amazon,
and
all that good stuff.
Actually, if people go to postparadiserock.com/download, you can sign up to be on our mailing list and get a free song that way.
Oh.
And the free song will be from our next EP that will be out in more than 6 months. But
we change the free tracks every now and then, so people can check back. That's a goodie.
Well, this is Post Paradise with the River, and we'll be right back with the continuation of the interview with Amy and Nick right after this.
Whatever I can.
And we're back on Independent Music Showcase with Amy and Nick from the band Post Paradise. Go on their website, postparadiserock.com, and learn all about what's going on with the band and what they're doing. And guys, what are some of the projects you're working on? I know you got the new EP coming out. You want to talk about it, like any gigs or anything going on in the future for Post Paradise?
Yeah, so this year, interestingly enough, we actually had an opportunity to be part of a documentary. The Smithsonian Museum, basically, they picked five cities that they wanted to recognize in an exhibit about innovation. And roundabout way, long story short, they ended up, Fort Collins is one of those cities, our hometown. So Colorado State University kind of got together with Smithsonian and said, we're going to do a documentary for this exhibit. And so we actually have a performance that's in that documentary, and then we got to be kind of the soundtrack. We provide a bunch of songs for it. So that's really awesome. I've actually got a speaking part in it, which was nerve-wracking, but got through it. So that
that's
was
cool.
Not afraid of talking, but wow, when you have to like say things right and all in one setting and know, yeah, that was interesting. And they're actually doing a big premiere of it in this really swanky Colorado State University concert hall, so we get to play a show right after the documentary to all those people. So
that's
kind of
cool.
Definitely unusual. something different for us.
What was the name of the documentary, Nick?
It's called Place Matters.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And it's just basically about the creativity and the things that, kind of like what you were asking, you know, does the place where you live influence the creativity that goes on? Because we're the city especially is huge on, they call it beers, bikes, and bands. That's pretty much the thing. There's a lot of the tech industry out here. There's more breweries in this town than most in Colorado and probably the country. It's just growing and growing. So it's a good place to thrive.
Yeah, it sounds like a real good place to be. I can't think of anything wrong with that.
exactly.
Yeah.
We love it here. We want to travel more and tour, but we have no plans to move to Nashville or L.A. or anywhere else. We really like it here.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great to have a place. And that's why I asked the question about the geography, because there have been artists that have been on this show before that have said, you know, things didn't work out until they got right to the certain place they were supposed to be. And then everything connected. And it was like, you know, they were able to do musically and artistically what they were meant to do. And I always thought that was kind of cool, because how do you know, you know, how does your spirit, your creative spirit know where you are? But I guess it does.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
Well,
I totally believe that.
Well, that's cool. So what else is going on? Is there any like shows lined up or?
Oh yeah, lots of stuff. We're doing one of the big breweries in town, New Belgium Breweries. They do a thing called Tour de Fat, and it's just kind of a crazy drunken bicycle ride through town, costume party. Yeah, crazy. And we're playing that for the first year, which is kind of it's nice. We've been hoping to get into it for years, and then this is the first time we were asked to go do it. So that feels very vindicating, especially for our hometown, you know. That kind of stuff. We're doing some things out of town. And, we've got a little tour in September, just kind of get our feet wet before the record comes out. And then we work on the fall craziness.
Yeah, we release our record. We're going to have a party release show thing on October 9th here in Fort Collins, actually at the place where we shot part of our music video in. And that should be very fun.
Yeah.
It's been a long process working on this record, so it'll be good to have it out in the world.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to be released and just, like you said, like let people tear it apart. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, it's always, you know, I've never been in that position, but I can imagine it just can be really great. The feeling of, okay, you know, now tell me what you think. You know, we've worked on it. You put the blood, sweat, and tears into it. Now it's time to see what you've got. So, guys, it's been great having you on. I really appreciate you being on the show. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I wish you all the best. Is there anything you'd like to say that maybe I have missed? I always like to say that at the end of the interviews, because sometimes, you know, I'll miss a certain thing maybe you wanted to say. Is there anything you'd like to add to what we were talking about tonight?
Just about the record. It's going to be, you know, available everywhere, online, especially, and, you know, through our website, all that good stuff. You can get free songs from the website too if you go down there and sign up for mailing lists and everything. So the one that's coming out in October is Side A. We have it's a two-side EP, basically. Mm. So kind of like full length, but we're splitting it into two releases. So there's going to be a Side A and then Side B, and six songs on each. So it's kind of a fun little project. We decided to kind of split it up and make it a collector's thing that way.
Have you guys put any of your stuff out on vinyl yet?
We have not. A lot of times we think about it and then we find out how long it takes for turnaround. It can be like 2-3 months to get the stuff back. And we're always thinking about it in terms of like, it'd be great to have that for this show. And then we never get around to it because it's takes so long. But
we might do it eventually. I think we will.
Yeah.
I just
want one for me.
Yeah, they're so cool. I mean, it just, I don't know what it is about vinyl. And one of the reasons I said that, there's a place here in Columbus, Ohio, that does vinyl, and they've been doing it since the beginning of vinyl. And it's a family, and the father's like in his 80s, and his kids do it, and it's in a house in a neighborhood, and all these bands come in and have them do their music in vinyl, and I'm always proud of that because it's so cool and pure, and it's in Columbus, Ohio. So yeah, if you ever think about that, I can get you guys.
Bands out of state.
Oh my gosh, I've interviewed bands that have said, you know, where are you from? And I said Columbus. They said, oh yeah, it's Musical is the name of MISCOL for like Music Columbus Musical, and yep. That's clever, isn't it? And yeah. They said, oh, yeah, we just, you know, sent our stuff there. You send the files, and they make it. So I'm plugging those guys today, so they should be happy. But
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I can, if I think about it, I know they've got a pretty cool link and a website, so make sure I've got the spelled right, but I'll try to send that over to you. But thanks again, guys, awesome. And I wish you all the best, and we'll have to keep in touch.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks so much for having us on the show. Appreciate it.
Well thank you. And everybody, thank you for supporting independent musicians and Independent Music Showcase, and everybody have a great evening.
Woo-hoo.
Good night, everybody.
The world.